Moving into the barriers, Moods, Mytho, Rog, and the Rain Man. Set and underway for Moody on the Mic.
Welcome back to another edition of Moody on the Mic. I'm Roger Aldridge, joining me as they always do, Peter Moody, Anthony Mithen, and the resident Rain Man, Tommy Hackett. G'day, Moods. How are you going?
Great to be back, Rog. Great racing. Spring is in the air.
We're recording 10 minutes later than scheduled because you had a runner at Sandown. Thought you were going to do the unthinkable and get Stars of Karen home there.
Yeah, a couple of runners today, two thirds, better than fourths, not as good as winners. But they're earning a check for the owners. That's the most important thing.
And speaking of the owners, Anthony Mithen, how are you going there? Bit of free press in the Herald Sun today.
Yeah, that was good. About as close as we'll ever get to the Melbourne Cup, the way Peter trains our horses. But it was nice to see the loving.
But they still there. Print the Herald Sun
in all its glory. And they chucked it in the barn with the little foal. The foal's by a street boss out of a speedy mare. There'll be no chance to ever run in a Melbourne Cup, but nonetheless, it was a cute little photo of the foal snuggled up to the Melbourne Cup. And spring is in the air, and we might see the Melbourne Cup winner on Saturday, trained by the greatest trainer in the world.
We will get him. And our nation. We will get to that. Don't worry. It's in the rundown, Mytho. Tom Hackett, welcome to you. I can see the Christmas tree over your shoulder there in your shot. And, geez, it'd be like Christmas for you this weekend. The head's wobbling already as I intro you.
I'm excited, Rog. This is when the spring gets serious for mine. We've got an outstanding addition to the Runs the Rose at Kembla Grange. And one member of the show has got the market mover in a group one at Flemington. I won't say who. We'll leave it. We'll let the punters guess who it might be. But the punters have come in a very big way. The big punters are Lee Shirley. I am very excited.
Yeah, asking you to pick what races we're going to talk about on the show was like asking someone to choose between their kids. Thankfully, you've only got one kid at the moment. But the day is nearly upon us where you will have to choose that. Let's talk about Boom Horses, though. Not the one you're alluding to, but Zaki winning the tramway in blistering fashion on the weekend. And now, he's now, in terms of Cox Plate betting, he's getting near the price we'd see for Winx at about this time of year after she resumed and blew them away over 1,400 metres.
Well, I think I'll have to go to Rain Man here. It looked unbelievably impressive. Rain Man being more the form person. Were the facts and figures there around the race, Rain Man? Because it looked outstanding. And if the facts and figures and times, weights and measures, as all these gurus put together, matched the visual thing, it was outstanding.
Yeah, he didn't rate as high as he did in Brisbane during the Brisbane Winter Racing Carnival. There was a few different factors that went into that. One of them was the fact that J-Mac was so easy on him on the line. Like he pulled up with 100 to go basically and just let him canter across the line. So that affected the time a little bit, but it was still a very good performance for a horse that's first up heading towards a Ladbrokes Plate. So the scary thing to think is that he did that so easily, but there's no doubt he still has a huge amount of improvement left in him. So, no, it's an incredibly exciting horse heading into the rest of the spring.
And I suppose when you are trained by the world's best trainer, that improvement is going to come thick and fast and in spades.
Well, the one thing about Sir Michael Stout, who we do probably all agree has been one of the great trainers of the world, he would have never run this horse in a 1,400-metre race for a start. I think he... at this stage of his career. So, this is what I was alluding to earlier when all the piss-taking about NNL Nation being the world's best trainer. Australian trainers are more open-minded to trying these different things with these types of horses and putting the zip and speed back into their legs instead of just grinding it out of them up the hills and long-distance racing. And the horses, rightly or wrongly, don't get a chance to show that turn of foot on their home turf traditionally. So there's no doubt in the world this horse has just thrived in the Australian environment, thrived with a change of training routine. I'm not going to say he'd go back to England and win a 7 furlong or a mile race, but he's a much better horse than he was in Europe. And we've seen much better horses than him in Europe come out here and be a hell of a lot worse too. So it goes both ways.
I'm going to ask the punter's question of Rain Man. Do you back him now to win the Cox Plate or do you wait? Because I would have thought that the market is going to flop and change around depending on what it remembers last. And what we remember last is Zaki absolutely dominant in that race on Saturday. And we're going to sit back and say, well, hang on, this week's a new week and you've just got to know when to hold them. So give us your thoughts.
Yeah, I think you're right, Mytho. The market will still have plenty of changes left in it. Rog said it well earlier. That this is the sort of price we were talking about for Winks at this stage of the preparation for a Cox Plate. And what, no matter what Zaki's done so far, he's not Winks yet, that's for sure. So I'd definitely be holding fire. We still have to see Very Elegant fire another shot. We've still got a few races to go before we get to the Ladbrokes Cox Plate. So Very Elegant comes out and wins a George Main in dominant fashion, which she could very well do. Then she's done a short enough again. Zach will get out to a bit more of a price. And we saw a similar situation with Russian Camel last year. After his first two runs, he was almost an unbackable favourite for the Ladbrokes Cox Plate. Then he got rolled in a Caulfield Stakes. And then on the day, you're getting sort of double what you would have taken a month earlier. So I think, especially at the current price, I'd be waiting. And I don't think you're going to get too much worse than $3 on the day.
I think we would all readily agree that the win of Zaki in the Tramway far outweighed Superstorm's Fion Stakes and the Chelmsford Stakes in Sydney as a viewpoint of going to those weight for age races. But I suppose I'm going to throw you a little curveball. We're not sure. We see there's a chance we see Very Elegant and Zaki take one another on in the George May.
Yeah, still a
chance.
The
next couple of, if Annabelle Neesham can't get a staff to Melbourne to care for Zaki for the Underwood. But listen, I'm only surmising here. What happens if Incentivise comes out and wins Mackaybee like Zaki won the Tramway? Where does he sit in Cox Plate calculations? And if Zaki happened to beat Very Elegant, do connections of Incentivise all of a sudden say, hang on, Incentivise might be more chance of beating Zaki than Very Elegant and similar ownership. Does he go down a Cox Plate path rather than a Cups path? So, you know, there's a lot of variables out there, isn't there?
Will you trade the last, Peter? You tell us.
I don't know. let's get Saturday out of the way first.
What if the greatest trainer in the world produces Mwunga to win by four?
Exactly. And that's quite on the cards, coming off a brilliant win first up in Sydney in the Winks Stakes.
Gold Trip could still be coming as well, a very highly rated European. So I wouldn't be engraving the Cox Plate just yet for Zaki, that's for sure.
Gold Trip is definitely coming, isn't he? I spoke to Ollie last week and he seems to think he's coming because he's riding him.
Yeah, yep. I think at this stage it's definitely coming, but the world's in a bit of turmoil, Rog, so we're not quite sure about international travel's a little bit tricky.
You're in Brisbane, and ScoMo can go home for Father's Day. Can't be in that much trouble.
Oh, let's not get political, Rog.
We saw another star resume on the weekend too, Nature Strip, against a weaker field than what he's copped in the Concord the last couple of years, but fast horse, ran fast, did what we expected him to do. Mind you, what we've expected him to do the last couple of years and he hasn't done, is this setting up now for the prep of his lifetime, perhaps? Because we know that Wallace sets him for a deeper in the prep than a first up run.
Yeah, well, that's probably arguable. Can he get better at this age? You wouldn't say he can go any faster than he ever has previously. Maybe his racing manners improved. Like Chris was quite adamant post-race that the horse has now got a plan B. Not so much he or the rider, the horse will present to a plan B if taken on. So we're probably yet to see that. When you're going to see the likes of Rothfire and those horses sitting up, you know, breathing down his throat. I'm probably tend to lean a little bit back the other way, thinking now who's going to continue to improve? Masked Crusader? You would think he's probably still on an upward spiral. Does Nature Strip continue to improve? He might just be too good for them regardless. But of course, like Masked Crusader, I want to see him again. And I think, the horse that won the race here in Melbourne, Inferno, the Cliff Brown horse, that was a bloody good win in the Carline Sprint, I think it was, or whatever, the 1,000-metre race. And Cliff's a pretty laid-back sort of a character. It doesn't talk him up much and immediately said after the race, I'd like a slot.
I think that Nature Strip's first-up effort in the Concord Stakes was his highest-rated first-up run ever. So if he can spike off that, he's still the horse to beat in the Everest, and it was just good to see him back doing what he does best. But, yeah, the Inferno is definitely one that's put his hand up for a potential Everest slot with that win in the McEwen Stakes. He's beaten Portland Sky in September run, and they're two horses that definitely would have been in the mix when we're talking about those 10th, 11th, 12th slots in the Everest. So he's definitely an interesting horse to follow as we try to fill out those remaining slots.
Don't think September run's a Moonee Valley horse, and I was fascinated with Chris Waller's comments after the race. I heard him interview on radio earlier this week saying that, to Moods' point about the plan B, there is a plan B. The horse can take a sit now. He's not going to be, you know, we let fast horses run fast, but at their own peril sometimes when they're taken on. And this horse has got that string to his bow, this preparation. We didn't have to see it on the weekend, but I'll be very interested to see whether he will just settle and do as the jock asks and run at a tempo that'll see him finish off later in the prep. But I wouldn't want to be a betting man against that happening if Chris Waller is telling me that that's what he's been able to teach the horse in the pre-season.
Now, we are going to get to a look at this weekend's races and also some best bets, which will hopefully provide a fill-up for listeners in the same way that Moods has filled up his mouth by pouring basically a half a bag of chips in while Ray Man was talking there. One of the more remarkable, it was probably a better effort than Nature Strip and Zaki together on the weekend. It was really, really interesting stuff. We saw another potential star on Saturday at the Valley in Zuzarella, came out and won her second start from, well, she's had two runs, both the Valley and won again. Stablemart Argentia, who was the one we said, back Argentia now, Zuzarella's probably going to come out. Well, don't worry, we got that wrong. But it has turned out Argentia's got a few issues. And injuries, and the Freedman camp are actually just waiting to see what those extent of those injuries is. So potential disappointment on one hand for the Freedmans, but on the other, Zuzarella looks like a real 1,000 guineas horse.
She does look a good filly, but I just want to wind the clock back a bit and you have a listen to the replay. Some of us got it wrong last week, where some of us suggested that Argentia wouldn't perform on soft ground.
She was also lame.
Post-race, she wasn't lame going into it, but she just wasn't. And she never got a crack at them at all. So forget she went round. The pity of it is it appears that she's pulled up with a problem, and it remains to be seen if we see her again in the spring, which would be a terrible shame because she looks an unbelievably promising filly. But all honours the winner, got the job done, travelled wide, built momentum, and it's too strong.
Now, here's a thought. Let's make racing even more exciting.
With same race multi.
Across all three race codes.
Ladbrokes has Australia's biggest same-race multi offering across thoroughbred, greyhound, harness and international races. Add up to four runners to your same-race multi, lock in your odds and watch your potential payout increase. Bet with Ladbrokes, the home of same-race multi.
T's and C's apply. See ladbrokes.com.au for details. Gamble responsibly. Call 1-800-858-858.
Some big races either side of the Murray this weekend. We'll kick off in Sydney as we did last week. Let's start with the Theo Marks, Rayman. How's the market shaping here?
Yeah, early betting move here, Rog. Parade. The bookies put up $6, which I think was clearly wrong because the punters have backed it now into $3.10. Clear favourite. Private Eye was $3.20. It's up to $4.20. Everything else basically has drifted early because of that early move for Big Parade. And I think the punters have got it right. Big Parade was first up for 7 months last start and absolutely bolted in. It's been freshened up since then, has trialled nicely. It just looks like a really progressive horse for Newnham and gets into the Theo Marks Stakes here fairly well. So I think the market's got that one right early. Private Eye was very good first up in the Show County Quality. It's a horse that came through the Queensland Guineas. We've seen that be a pretty strong form race in recent years. Colding won the race a few years ago and has since gone on to win many Group 1 races. So I think they're the two here. I think the market's got a pretty spot on here. Big Parade and Private Eye for me.
Yeah, Big Parade. I mean, it's coming out of a Benchmark 88 into a Group 2, but have a look at the time over that 1,200 metres in the Benchmark 88. It annihilated the clock and it was carrying 61 kilos. Gets in at, 53.5, I think, this weekend. So it comes anywhere near that. And over 1,300, albeit this time, should absolutely piss in. I think he'll just light it up in front. They won't catch him.
I like Ice Bath as a horse, but probably needs it wet, Rain Man.
Yeah,
would
agreed.
Be the only issue. And fine weather predicted all the way through to Saturday, and they'll race on a good track there. So I want to follow her, though, through the spring, and particularly if we do get that wet spring as predicted. So I'm with the favourite, though. You made a really strong case, you two lads. So Big Parade for me, the tip on top.
Yeah, well, I don't think I'm going to spoil the party too much. It was too impressive to forget and obviously gets that weight relief for getting sort of 2.5-3 kilos off most of the field. A couple of interesting first uppers. Rohirrim was good to us first up last prep. We actually found him first up in the Felvillon Stakes, I think it was in Brisbane. And interestingly, he had a quiet canter around in a trial the other day with James McDonald in the saddle. And James McDonald rides Madame Rouge for Chris Waller, and he just went on a broomstick at the moment. So can't go past the favourite, but keep an eye on 3 and 4 for your multiples.
An important race in the progression of the spring, Rayman, is the run to the Rose. We get another look at the Golden Slipper winner, Stay Inside, who's really disappointing first up. And I'd imagine punters aren't showing any faith in him this time around either.
Yeah, it's been a good early go here for Animo Rog, the dominant winner of the Size Produce Stakes. It's been 3.20. It's now into 2.35. It's going to start this race as a clear favourite. Converge is on the second line of betting. It's 4.60 out to 5.50. Remarks also drifted $6. Stay Inside, 7.50. Then you're getting double figures the rest. So the market very keen on Animo here. And it was so impressive in that Size Produce Stakes win. It ran on really strongly in the Blue Diamond, hit the line strongly in the Golden Slipper, and then just went to another level in that Size Produce Stakes win. It was one of the most impressive wins of the autumn racing carnival. Is 2.35 getting a little short, though, in a race of this quality when he does need to come back and do it as a three-year-old? In my opinion, yes. I think he's the horse to beat. I think he could be a genuine superstar. But at 2.35 now, I'm happy to take him on because there are a number of talented horses in this field. And I want to play a couple of horses at a bit of a price here. So Captivant was really good in that race at Stay Inside. I was in the San Domenico Stakes, found the line really strongly. He's going to be better suited over 1,200 metres, and he's going to be better suited with that run under his... So he might be the one that just go to that at level. He does have a fitness edge there over Animo. So you're getting $15. And I'm not sure there's as much at this stage, there's as much between those two horses as that price suggests. Another one I want to have a little tickle on is at a price is Home Affairs. Don't need a little bit of luck in running from barrier 14. Moods and Mytho did a Group 1 year in review preview show for Ladbrokes with the great Glenn Boss a few months ago. And Bossy was very, very high in his praise for Home Affairs and suggested he'd be a horse to follow as a three-year-old. And Chris Waller's given this horse a number of trials ahead of his return to the races. And they've been, for the Waller stable, they've been quite very good trials and quite aggressive trials. Like the horse, they clearly want to get a fair bit of fitness into this horse first up. So at $15, I just think he's a horse with some upside that could come out and stamp himself as a three-year-old to follow. But it's an outstanding race. I haven't touched on the likes of Converge in the Congo, who's been outstanding. So can't wait for this race on Saturday. It's going to be an absolute cracker.
Yeah, from memory, when we had Chris Waller on prior to the All-Star Mile, I think when we were asking him about his two-year-olds, he had Home Affairs right up there as one of the better ones. So perhaps at that price, like you say, Rayman, he's one to keep an eye on. I do think Animo will win the race, but when I was having a look at it, I think it was at $2.50, and I was like, I don't really want to go any shorter than that. Now it's already into 2.35, so it's probably not a betting race for me, but I think on form, especially the two-year-old form, Animo is hard to go past. But, yeah, Home Affairs, like we say, Chris Waller rates it highly. That's good enough for me. Moods.
Yeah, well, listen, I'm going to take the coward's way out, stick with Animo. That win in the Size Produce was phenomenal. His trial behind G-Trail the other day looked outstanding. But in saying that, I thought the same thing about Stay Inside leading into his first up run. Now, did Tommy Berry just give him too much to do that day? In the Congo, controlled the race. He was back. He made a dash at them and then just genuinely looked like he knocked up. You know, he looked like he was going to run right into the race and then hit a bit of a brick wall. But where's he going to get from gate 10? Yeah, listen, this is a terrific race, terrific race. But the coward's way out, Animo, and anyone of 5 or 6 could win without surprising, I think. But we've seen the slipper form hold up, except the winner at the moment. We've seen Integrated come out and run third. Animo looks very good. We've seen a few of the fillies run well. So, no, I'm with Animo.
It's a slipper curse, Moods. You don't want to win it. I mean, the millions of dollars is all right. I'd probably take it.
Yeah. Yeah, I'd take the 25 or 30 million for the colt that's won it. Thanks.
That'll do me. We're all trying to find him. The question I've got here, lads, is Animo had a little setback and was supposed to be first up somewhere else. Am I right in saying that?
He definitely had a setback and they probably went 2 weeks later than they... The original plan was to go to the San Domenico as well.
Was a little temperature or something.
Yeah, nothing serious, but yeah, very minor setback.
And I'm always that always niggles away at me when you want to, when you're being asked to take a $2.35. Started the preparation with a little problem. Often they just struggle to recover from that. And history tells you that there's good horses that have been littered with just a muck up of a preparation because things haven't started right, and you could never get on the right foot, and I'm sure Moods would attest to that.
Undoubtedly so. I think we've just got to back James Cummings in with this very valuable colt. We think, well, listen, he's got him right. No doubt they would have done bloods and everything, and he would have obviously pleased them at home since. But, you know, these types of colts, they wouldn't be going into these runs soft first up. And what have we got? How long till the Golden Rose, boys? 2 weeks, is it?
Yep. Yeah, it's 2 weeks.
So he's got to be pretty. He's got to be pretty forward. You know, the other option would have been if he was really crook to freshen up and just probably go to the Coolmore, and they've decided against that. So listen, I can certainly see your point there. From a punting perspective, taking the shorts could be a little bit of a query. But what do you find to beat him?
Well, I probably just want to stick with Converge because I love him as a horse. I just think he's a ripper. He's bred to do nothing at 2, and he did everything at 2. So as a 3-year-old, he's probably a horse I just want to stick with through his 3-year-old season. I reckon he'll come out on top if you back him every start. So let's kick him off on Saturday with an each-way bet, Converge for me.
I would just suggest that maybe with Converge, he wasn't a big 2-year-old. It'd be interesting to see how he presents on Saturday, whether some of these other immature backward 2-year-olds are worse early on have gone past him at 3, and we've spoken about this for a few weeks on the show now. So that will be an interesting point. You know, does he continue to improve or what? So it'll be interesting to see him in the yard, Converge.
Let's head down to Fabulous Flemington now, raising the program. Is the exit plate another look here at the Blue Diamond winner, Artorias? And Roman, the way he didn't win first up, but the way he jumped out of the ground and got home late, I know I want to be on him on Saturday.
Yeah, Artorias is probably he's the one missing from that race in Sydney. They found a lovely race for him here in the Exford Plate. He's been really well backed early as well, been 2.45 into $1.09. He looks to start as an odds-on favourite. Moods has got the second favourite, Lightsaber. He's $7.50. Halal for Team Hawks is in this race, and it's in Sydney. So I'm not sure if he's told Team Hawks where he'll be running this weekend yet, but there might be deductions at some point. But at this stage, it's all about Artorias here. And based on his first up run, it's hard not to back him here. I think he is deserving of his status as a dominant favourite here. He did everything but win first up. I think he's always given that impression that he'll be even better over 1,400 metres. And Flemington seems like a track that's going to suit him. Barrier 6 will be no problem with Luke Curry in the saddle. I just think he's the class horse in this race. I think he showed that he's come back in really good condition. So I'm happy to be chips in Artorias here.
Yeah, there's no way I'm not loading up on him on Saturday unless he gets into something stupid like $1.50. But I think anything, even down to $1.70, I'll be happy to take it. The only thing is, he's not proven at 1,400. Moods Lightsaber is proven at 1,400. And how is your horse heading into this one?
Yeah, he's trained on very well. I thought he was very good through the line the other day. He improved rapidly off that run in the Artorias race. Mm-hmm. And he was super through the line late the other day. So he's looking for the 1,400. Drawn a bit sticky in 11. I haven't had a chance to assess the tempo of the race. Thought he's exceptional, was pretty good at the Valley, and he's drawn to get that suck run right behind the leaders again to run well, where Artorias, you've always got that little bit, get back. He's going to be second half of the field. You know he's going to hit a bit of traffic and just how quickly he can get out of it. But, you know, he's a rightful favourite. And looked outstanding through his whole career, and it'll be hard for anything to knock him off. My horse can run well. You know, Daily Bugle was good. Halal was just at the Valley. He probably needs to lift. I'd stick with the top three here and giving my horse a good each way chance, Lightsaber.
He's been well backed, Lightsaber. Moods, is that a bit of stable money? Has he been working well? And people at the track, usually are first to know, even not your own stable staff, just people around the track, they see a nice horse and see him work well?
Oh, listen, he has trained on very nicely since that last run. And I think he's run that day. You know, he ran through the line very strong at that last start. So he's probably put himself out there. And maybe punters are looking for a bit of value away from the short price favourite.
Yep. I just think I'll be putting Artorias in all multis and copying the extra 1.8, I would have thought, because I reckon he just wins this on his ear. Can't wait to see him out to 1,400. He's a horse that shaped all the way through his autumn two-year-old preparation as a horse that just had a mortgage on races like the Sires or the Champagne if he chose to go that way. But the lure of running in the short trip two-year-old races the big price check that came from Newgate Farm would have dictated terms there. But with the Guineas firmly on his radar, I reckon he is the horse to beat in the Guineas and anything he runs in before then.
listen, can't disagree with you there, but just be always mindful that horses that run on as strong as he doesn't necessarily mean that they want 1,400, 1,600 metres. They can quite often get away with it against their own age group, but doesn't always mean that. And remembering his father was brilliant down the straight in the Coolmore and races like that. So he was a 6 furlong horse, his father. So it's still to be seen, will he get 7 furlongs or a mile, this horse, or is he more a Coolmore horse? And this is probably a deciding race for him on Saturday.
Physically, he looks like a horse that's going to get better the further he goes, though, Moose, doesn't he?
But he's been set for the guineas too. So they I mean, the stable clearly think he's a 1,600-metre horse.
Yeah, but until you try it, Rog, you're never 100% sure. You keep thinking that when they're running on and running through the line, running on and running through the line. Sometimes in a 7 furlong race, they'll come out, present to win, and hang on, they don't run the trip. I'm not saying that'll be the case, but just be mindful of that. We've seen it many, many times with a lot of good sprinters over the years. When they have stretched them out, they just don't get the trip.
Let's move on to the Let's Alive, the Group 2 for the Mares, Rainman. It's a pretty open betting race as well, by the look of it.
Yeah, Instant Celebrity has come up as the favourite, $4. Look, she would have been shorter. She's drawn a bit better, but I think punters are a little bit worried about that wide barrier draw. Taraf's been well backed early. It's been $5.50 to $4.50. Then you've got Still a Star and Ana Visto both at $7.50. Mystic Journey there at $13. But for me, this looks like the perfect two-bet race. I think Instant Celebrity's going to need a good ride here from Willow, but I'm confident that she's the class mare in this field. Thought she was really good first up behind Probabil in the Cockrum Stakes. There's no horse the quality of Probabil in this race. I think she would have taken good improvement from that run. So I think she's the class mare here, Instant Celebrity. And she's fairly tractable. Like, she can make her own luck. We've seen her settle in the middle of the fit as well. So she does have that tactical versatility. And hopefully Willow can give her a nice ride there from barrier 13. A horse that's a good price here as well, I think, at the 750 is the Tasmanian Still a Star. Recently did a bit with her trainer, Bill Ryan, on Ladbroke's social media channels. Bill's battling cancer at the moment, but he's got this once-in-a-lifetime horse, and he's hoping that Still a Star can deliver him a maiden Group 1 win in the Empire Rose Stakes at the end of the carnival. And I definitely think that is a possibility, because she's got form around some good horses here, Still a Star. She's got form around Mr. Quickie. She's got form around Missile Mantra. And she ran a really good race in the All-Star Mile as well. So it wouldn't surprise me if she's gone to another level again with that experience racing in Melbourne under her belt. And she's a winner as well. So $7.50, Instant Celebrity $4. I'm happy to back them both.
I'm going to go for one in each way value here. Zoo Dancers certainly hasn't got the ratings of some of her competition in this race. But, you know, she is a winner at Group 3 level over this distance. She's 2 from 2 at 1,400. And getting back out to that 1,400-metre trip at a track like Flemington, where she can avoid some of the trouble she's got in her last couple of starts. I think she's around the $14 mark, Rayman, or thereabouts. I think in what's a pretty reasonably open race, she looks a really good each-way bet. In fact, I'm already on her. I backed her earlier today. So that's how I knew she was at $14.
I'm going to throw you a curveball here. A mare in brilliant form, makes all her own luck, sits up on the speed, leads usually. This English mare, Tarath, trained by Matty Raymond down at Warrnambool, the services of D Lane, doesn't get any weight penalties like some of the opposition, and is just going to get a gun run up on the speed. And there's no reason to think that she probably can't do all again. There's some nice mares here, but you can pick Chinks. Instant Celebrity's the best horse in the race for mine. And if she has the luck, she's probably just too good. But I'm thinking barrier 13, she's going to be giving Tarath probably 6 or 8 lengths balancing up, and it's going to be hard to run down. Mystic Journey, listening to Adam Trinder this morning, plans for her to peak on first day of the carnival at Flemington for the Empire Rose, and Still a Star first up also, thinking the two Tasmanian mares probably have the class but might just be in need of the run, and maybe a rock hard fit Tarath can run them off their legs. So what price, Rainman?
$4.50, Moods. Plenty of early punters in agreement with you.
Right. Well, $4.50.
That's right.
Bloody hell. I thought it'd be double those odds. Anyhow, well, Tarath to run well, Instant Celebrity, it's the best horse in the race. Work around those two.
I'm going to throw in a roughie. Instant Celebrity should have the race by the short and curlies, but gee, I was impressed with the trial of Butter Chicken at Cranbourne. And I love the fact that I can cheer for Butter Chicken, because it is easily my favourite Indian dish. So Butter Chicken, Shrewd Trainer, Graham Begg, Jordan Childs are on, drawn well. Let's see how good she is. Lightly raced, but obviously the team have got a reasonable opinion throwing her into this sort of company first up. I just don't mind the odds at about $15, I reckon, Rainman.
Yeah, that's right. And I completely agree with you. The trial was outstanding.
That'll do.
All right, punters. It's what you've always been waiting for. Usually it's the best bets is what you wait for. But no, Maccabi never stakes. And there's a little horse from Queensland who's now under the tutelage of another one of Queensland's favourite sons. Incentivives goes around in the Maccabi Diva. And Rayman, I don't know whether Moods has opened up the wallet and just put all his Ladbrokes money on Incentivise, but geez, they've attacked it.
You don't see moves like this in a Group 1 market very often, Rog, but Incentivise now on the second line of betting. It opened at $7.50. Punters said, thank you very much. Backed into six, backed into 550, backed into 480. It's second favourite behind Tefane, who's there at $4.60. Moonga's been the drifter. It opened favourite. It's been 420 out to $5. Inspirational Girl from Perth, $7. Ergen there at $9. And then you've got Horses to Quality of Colette, $16. The Ladbrokes Cox Plate winner, Sir Dragonet, at $26. It's a fascinating race. I'm very excited for it. We need to hear from Moods first.
Well, listen, I'm still learning very much about this horse, Incentivise. He's a very impressive individual, and I don't know what's under the bonnet because we haven't had to push the button because everything he does with such ease. He's a terrific athlete. He went down to Cranbourne and just cantered around in a trial, and Brett Prebble got off and said, listen, I could have won that by half a lap. He just works up nicely. I've been using an old horse of mine called Shepherd as his lead horse at home on the gallops. And listen, he's a benchmark 70 horse on a Wednesday, but he rolls along at a nice clip. And this bloke's just been, you know, throwing handstands and pulling up and rolling the smoke at the furlong while he's been waiting for him. So he really looks the part. For the fact that he's a big athletic horse and doesn't need a lot of work, he hasn't had a searching strong gallop since he's been here. But boy, gee, he does look impressive. Is he sharp enough to win a mile Group 1? First up, I hope the ratings people have it right. I know Glenn Boss is still crying that he's not here to ride him because he and his ratings people had this horse through the roof. Zaki and he were the two highest rated mile and a quarter plus winners of last season. So let's hope he comes back like Zaki.
Was it your cash, Peter? Was it your cash?
I don't have any cash, Anthony. I'm a battling racehorse trainer.
He obviously moves. He hasn't been beaten in quite some time. And I suppose, especially more the casual racing fans, they look at the horses that string all these wins together and they just go out and they expect them to win. This is a Group 1 race, which a level he hasn't contested before. He's a stayer, but he's going at 1,600. But could he go through and just, is he that good, do you think, that potentially he can go through on a run?
He's meeting 10 individual Group 1 winners here, Roger, and in his whole career, he's beaten one, the old horse of Busserdon's in that last race.
Mirage Dancer.
Mirage Dancer won a Metrop. It's won once in 5 years. So he's meeting 10 individual Group 1 winners here. This is a whole different ball game. A whole different ball game. Mile and a quarter, I'd be pretty confident. At a mile, you know, it's probably a little bit Zaki-ish of last week. Is he going to be good enough at the mile? You know, we saw Zaki do it. I hope this bloke can come out and do it. I'm very pleased with him going forward. But he's going to be much better suited in the Turnbull in a couple of weeks' time.
Rayman, will you be on him?
I will not be. I'll be cheering for him, but I will not be on Incentivise. I do have concerns about the mile. And there's so many unknowns. There's a lot of unknowns about this race. But Incentivise is probably as hard a horse, I think, there's been to sort of analyze heading into a big Group 1 for some time because he was so good during the spring. But as Mood said, during the winter, I should say, but as Mood said, he only beat one individual Group 1 winner, Mirage Dancer. He did beat him by 11 and a half lengths, to be fair. The last time he ran over a mile was in a class 2 at the Sunshine Coast, and he did win by 3.5 lengths, to be fair to him. So he's just got an enormous amount of upside, but this is a pretty good race, and we just don't know. So this race has given me bloody kittens. I've changed my mind. I've gone back and forth. I'm worried about the speed. I'm worried that Incentivise just might be a genuine freak and that I'm letting him slip under the Mood sitting right there in front of me. But I've landed on Ergen after all that. I just thought his first up run in the Memsey, where he ran the fastest closing sectionals in the race, and he did so in pretty impressive fashion. So he got a long way back in the Memsey, and he does get back in his races, but he has shown he can sit a little bit closer to the speed. So I'm hoping that from barrier four, Luke Curry will settle him a bit closer, because there's really not much speed in this race at all. There's no obvious leader. Incentivize could, he's at the star in the field, but he could very well lead if Brett Prebble and Moods decide they want to. So that does concern me a bit as well. But Airgun at $9, I think, is worth in what's a fascinating Group 1 race.
I'm a bit with you in a way, Rayman, is that I want Incentivize to win, because I think it'd be a great story. If I was going to find one to beat him, the one I've landed on is Inspirational Girl. I think it lines up quite well for her. She's 3 from 3 at the mile. She's 3 from 3 second up. She's now trained at Flemington, so although she's never raced there before, I don't think it's going to be anything new to her. And I think Inspirational Girl, you know, could be the one, but geez, I hope it's Incentivized by 5 or 6 lengths.
Bloody hell, I'm excited about this race now. Yeah, for punters, there'll be punters listening to this podcast going, how do you rewind a podcast? I need to hear that again from PG Moody. What, he's just given that horse the, well, you've been honest about it, Pete. You haven't talked it up Gay Waterhouse style, but you've been honest about it with us and given us a real insight into what he's doing and what he's showing you, which we've got to be thankful for. And that's why we're the most popular racing podcast in town, I suppose, because we get that honest view from you, Pete. But I've sort of done my form around this race and been seduced a bit with Tefane's pedigree. Can't believe she's never run further than 1400. And here she is having her first go at the mile when she's closer rated to Fun Star and Young Star and top class middle distance horses. But she's been so brilliant at 1200, 1400 that they haven't needed to step her out. But if they want to see what's under the hood and see if she's a true Cox Plate contender, well, this is the race to do it in, and we'll get a real good gauge on whether or not she's a mile middle distance horse going forward this spring. So I'd like to say, doing a deep dive on her pedigree, that she is. So for that reason, I'm gonna tip her. But by golly, I'm gonna have a shekel or two on Incentivize before we lose the price entirely.
Listen, I'm with my own horse, Incentivize. I think he can run very well. But I think, let's not forget, what price would Very Elegant be in this race? And we've got a horse that beat her last start in Mahunga, and a new one to the table. I think it's Ki Nat-Q or Nat-A-Q?
Nat-A-Q,
the Japanese horse. He got beat a long neck in that Wink Stakes the other day. Really massive run. So I'm very mindful of that form. I think Roger touched on the fact of this race. The main factor in this race is the speed. Where's it going to come from? Who's going to be up on the speed? Does Tefane control the race up front at a first run at a mile? Does Incentivize do that? You'd love to see a good old-fashioned European pacemaker in it to know it was going to be a nice gallop, probably. It's just one of those races where maybe the best horse doesn't win because it mightn't be a good gallop.
To show you all how to Ladbroke it.
Take a look at where the big bets are landing. Ladbroke's Bet Ticker gives you a live feed of incoming bets across all your favourite races and sports on your Ladbroke's app. Plus, you can now select and filter by runner. See where the big bets land with Bet Ticker.
But let's not stop there.
Let's Ladbroke the world!
Gamble responsibly. Call 1-800-858-858.
Here we are back again. Best bets time on Moody on the mic. Kick us off, Rayman.
I'm going to the last race at Kembla Grange, Rog. Kembla Grange, race 10, number 9, Spire. It's drawn a little sticky. We'll need some luck. We'll get back in the second half of the field. But its first up win was absolutely enormous. 1 by 3.5 lengths at the Kenzo track. It's got that Waller upside. I think it's a horse to follow. I think it'll win on Saturday. You're getting $4.20. Already been well backed. I back it now because that price I do not think will last.
Moods obviously said to proceed with caution with Artorias and going out to 1400 for the first time, but he's still my best bet of the day. He is around the $2 mark now. So, you know, I'm an old-fashioned glory hunter. I'm going Artorias into Ayrton, into Ingratiating, and a big fat all-up that'll pay about $7.
And, Rog, what you should be doing is going to Adelaide, race 1, Reflect the Stars, skips across the border. I think we're betting about $1.80. and that'll push you up closer to, you know, you'll get your double figure odds anyway. So that's my best bet. That's the Rosemont best of the weekend. Reflect the Stars. Lock it in, punters. She'll be winning over there, been knocking on the door. She drops back in grade. Small field, she'll be able to dominate and will win with a leg in the air.
Well, Roger Starling, my limelight, I would have said Artorias integrating into Ayrton as well and Melbourne. But seeing you throwing your horse into me in Adelaide, Mitho, I've got a horse called Eagle Hawk Star who travels over there this evening, and I think he'll also win. Any price, any market there, Eagle Hawk Star, Rain Man?
No idea. Second pick.
Well, maybe Reflect the Stars into Eagle Hawk Star in Adelaide for a little Moody Racing Rosemont Stud multi in Adelaide and back it up with Rogers multi at Flemington. So he's probably the best of mine, Eagle Hawk Star, for the weekend. But in saying that, three runners at Flemington. Lightsaber runs extremely well in the Artorias race. Smitzer will improve rapidly in the Poseidon Stakes race three, but it's a very hot race with Integrating Finance, Tycoon and Co. So he's probably a rough each way hope at best. And I'm bringing it home with Incentivize, trying to get me back on the group one stage. He's a very exciting horse. Can he win at a mile? Probably your guess is as good as mine, but follow him into the spring. Whatever he does on Saturday, he'll improve off. I think he'll run very well. Good luck, good punting, and as J-Mac did on Saturday on the mighty Nature Strip, let fast horses run fast.
Ladbrokes.